not going to preach today. My mom is here to preach the word of God with us. Before we had the Global Impact Celebration, we were doing this good news series. And I thought I had wrapped up the series, but I asked my mom to share today, and she said, I have one more message that I think really goes with this series. And so I know that you're going to be blessed and inspired today. So mom, why don't you come on up and give us the true ending to the good news series.
Thanks, Joel. Well, wasn't that a great virtual and sort of in-person, a mix of GIC last weekend? That was so good. Jenny and Janelle and the tech team and the worship team and all the singers and dancers and everybody that was involved did such a great job. So why this message then after such a powerful weekend where we heard the importance of being together? Because I'm going to talk to you today about death is not death. And isn't death such a morbid, dark topic? Well, that's one of the main reasons why I want to share this, is because, number one, death should not be something that we don't like to talk about. For Christians, it's graduation day, and we should be excited for it. We don't hear a lot of sermons on it. And, you know, it's kind of a taboo subject in society. Non-Christian people, they will avoid talking about it altogether. Or if they do, they talk about it in a joking manner. And we hear things like, well, Joel is up there playing golf somewhere beyond the blue. Or I'm probably headed for hell. But all my friends are there, so it's going to be party time. Ha, ha, ha. And on it goes. But death is no joking matter. And another reason I felt compelled to talk about death is because Dave and I are at the age right now that we're doing funerals for a lot of our friends. And the Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 10, that the days of our years are 70, if by reason of strength, 80 years. Well, we've passed our 70th year, and we're a while ago, and we're shooting for the 80 right now. And some of our friends have too, and some are approaching it quickly. But you know what? Death can come at any age. And Psalm 89, verse 48 says, "What man shall live and not see death?" And secondly, another reason why I'm sharing this, as I want to tell you that it's an appointment we all have. And it's one appointment that we won't miss. We won't be early for it, and we won't be late for it. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed that man shall die once, and after this comes judgment." God is the one who numbers our days, and there's a time to live and a time to die. You know, sometimes we can feel that death is a long way off, and young people can feel that they're invincible. But then something like a pandemic strikes. And we hear a loss of many young, we hear of a loss of many young lives. And you know, even children can die of disease as well. And some in our church body have experienced this. Well, another reason we need to talk about death is because there is a lot of wrong concepts about death out there. You know, some believe in reincarnation, where you begin a new life in a different physical form or body after biological death. There's talk of nirvana, all these things. Others believe when you die, it's over, lights out, you are no more, that's it. And if someone says that to me, I say to them, you better hope that you're right, because if you're right, I have nothing to worry about. But if I'm right, you've got a lot to lose. You see, none of these concepts that I mentioned before about death are what the Bible teaches. They're all very cultish, they're very pagan, and they're New Age thinking and are very wrong. And people who believe such things are deceived. They need to know the truth of God's word. And number four, there's a lot of fear surrounding death. You know, fear of the unknown in some cases. Fear of the pain that can be associated with death. Fear of losing a loved one. You know, a lot of children are fearful of death because of what they hear on TV and what they've seen there. So in my heart last month, I began crying out to God, this shouldn't be so, Lord. This isn't right. Not for the Christians, not for those who put their trust in you. Didn't Paul say to live is Christ and to die is gain? And Jesus, you said in Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So I really felt stirred that I needed to study more in this area and see what God's word had to say to us on the matter of death. So I'm in the midst of that right now, and there's so much, but today I just have a few thoughts that I want to share with you, and I hope that these thoughts will encourage you the way that they encouraged me as I read them in the Word. Well, this is what I discovered. First of all, the good news of the gospel is death is not death, but eternal life. When Jesus quickened those three words to me, or four, I guess they are, death is not death. I went, yes, I couldn't have thought of that. That's you, Holy Spirit. I felt excited about that. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Underline that, should not perish. Death is not death. And Proverbs 12:28 says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. There's no death, but immortality. You see, for many people, death is a darkened door at the end of life, a passageway to an unknown or a feared destiny. But for God's people, death is a bright pathway to a new and better life, and death is not final. It's just another step in the eternal life that we received when we believed John 3:16 and when we received Jesus to be Lord of our life. John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So those who think about partying in hell need to think again. It's not going to be that much fun. John 8:51 says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Hebrews 2:14-15 says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Church, that scripture says we don't need to fear death. Christ's death and resurrection set us free from the fear of death because death has been defeated. Amen? When the Sadducees, who believed there is no resurrection from the dead, they were walking with Jesus and talking with him. And in answering their questions, Jesus said this in Matthew 22:31-32. He said, our God is a God of the living, not of the dead. So though we die, yet shall we live. Death is not death. This is great news. This is great news for you folks. If you have friends, if you have relatives, if you have parents, if you have a spouse or a child that has died in the Lord, because they're very much alive and they're waiting for you. And the second thing that I discovered is it's far better to be with Christ than to be here. Philippians 1:20-25 says, for I fully expect and I hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I'm convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. You see, to those who don't believe in God, life on earth is all there is. And so it's natural for them to want to strive for worldly values, for money, for prestige, for popularity, for power, for pleasures. But Paul knew Christ, and he had an eternal purpose for his life, and that was to tell others about Christ and to become more like him himself. Paul could confidentially say that dying would be even better than living, because in death he didn't have to face any more worldly troubles, and he would see Christ face to face, and the things of the earth would grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. Don't you feel like that some days? Wow, some days just to be out of some of the troubles that you feel. Well, if you're not ready to die, then you're not ready to live. When we know our eternal destiny, we are free to serve, devoting our life to what really matters without the fear of death. Right now, he knew that the Philippian church needed him, so that longing and the yearning to be with Christ would have to wait. Are you and I longing and yearning to be with Christ? You know, in my early teens, I went to a Presbyterian youth group, and we had these little square songbooks. I still remember them. And we would sing at them from our meetings. We'd sit around in this circle, and everybody would open up their songbook, and we would sing out of these. And the only one that I can remember singing was, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Isn't that a strange song for a teenager to like? You know, I don't even know if I got all the words right, but that's all I remember of that song. But I've found myself singing that song at various times in my life over the years. Because, church, we don't belong to this world. This world is not my home. And it's not your home either if you know Jesus as your Savior. Philippians 3:20 says, "Our citizenship is in heaven. That's when we are home. Our home is with Christ." Do you know that every person that has died clinically and who has gone to heaven and returned to tell us about what they experienced, they never wanted to return to earthly life? The love, the light, the joy, the magnificence was so out of this world that they wanted to stay. I think it wasn't Smith Wigglesworth or somebody that he tried to pray for his wife to come back to life, and she's like, because he didn't get a chance to say goodbye, and she's like, why did you bring me back? Wasn't that? I hope I got that right. I was going to look that up and I forgot. The third thing, I'm looking at you, dear. You're supposed to nod yes or no. The third thing I discovered is we get new bodies. Even our physical bodies were just given us to house our soul and spirit while we're here on earth. They are like a container, or as Kathy, as you told me one time, like a suitcase to hold the stuff. But when we die, our spirit and our soul, they leave that earthly tent, as the Bible calls it. It's temporal, and we are to leave it for the eternal. As a pastor's wife, I've been with a lot of people over the years in their last days or even hours on earth. But the most precious time was with my father. It was being with him as we saw his spirit leave his body that I became so very aware how his body was just a shell holding the real him, and it was empty. You see, Dave and I were holding his hand, and we were watching his face when Dave said to me, "Linda, he's going now." And it was like a quick rippling effect. And what had happened, it happened like in the twinkling of an eye. If we would have blinked or if we'd been looking in the wrong direction, we would have missed it. But we didn't. We saw it. And it had a profound effect on me to this day. 2 Corinthians 5:1-8 says, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he is giving us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we'll be at home with the Lord. Paul clearly states our present bodies make us groan. And as we get older, we get more aches and pains, right? Our bodies aren't in the best shape anymore with aging comes. My husband always tells me, Linda, wait till you see my new bod. So when we die, we're not going to be spirits without bodies. We will have new bodies that will be perfect for our everlasting life. They're going to be an upgrade, folks. What a blessing, and especially for those who never had the blessing of a healthy body here on earth. Mother Teresa said, in light of heaven, the worst suffering on earth, a life full of the most atrocious torture on earth, will be seen to be no more serious than one night in an inconvenient hotel. In eternity, God will remove all sorrows. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things gone forever. Doesn't that sound good to you? And then the last point is, I discovered we can only imagine heaven. Have you grown up with Sunday school pictures of heaven? Or from a children's Bible where you see an angel sitting on a cloud playing a harp with a gold city off in the distance? And there you see Jesus in a white robe with a crown on his head. Well, maybe you've thought about it's going to be kind of boring up there. Or you can't imagine liking it because you like it here on earth. To be honest, I haven't gotten excited about heaven much before either. And I hadn't really thought about it. But I'm doing a lot more of it lately. And a few weeks ago, a gal from our church, she dropped off a book for Dave and Joel. I don't even know if Joel knows this, if Dave told them. But Dave, as soon as he saw it, he brought that book to me because it was a book by John Burke, and it's really a bestseller right now, called Imagine Heaven. I don't know if any of you have read it, but Dave knew that I was really interested in this area, so he brought it home to me to read. And I'm not even halfway through it, but I'm so enjoying it. And I just want to read a little excerpt out of it. And he called this little chapter in the book, A Boring Heaven with a question mark. John Burke says, I find that most people, whether they are Christ followers or not, have a horrible view of heaven. At best, it's a cloudy, ethereal, and disembodied, non-physical experience. Yeah, maybe with love, joy, and no suffering sprinkled in. But if we're honest, we don't really get excited about it. We can't imagine actually liking it. At worst, people think of it as an endless, boring church service. He says, singing songs that you're not excited about forever. He said, that sounds horrible to me, and I'm a pastor. How you think about heaven affects everything in life. How you prioritize love. How willing you are to sacrifice for the long term. How you view suffering. What you fear or don't fear. He said, I'm convinced we can't even begin, but we should try to picture how magnificent, how spectacular, how much fun heaven will be, how much of what we love about this life and more awaits us in eternity. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't push our imaginations to the limit, trying to understand. He said, for the past 30 years, I've studied the Bible, major world religions, philosophy, and multitudes of near-death experiences. I've concluded that the core common elements of near-death experiences are a gift from God to color in the picture picture revealed by the prophets and Jesus. He said, I'm convinced the main reason many people, Christian or not, live materialistic, self-centered lifestyles is their poor view of the life to come. They can't imagine heaven, so they don't live for it. But all the great heroes of the faith were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It says in Hebrews 11. Imagining and living for heaven is not optional to God. It's the hope that God wants us to hold in our mind's eye. Folks, just consider how fantastic creation is on the earth. When you go out and you see the mountains, or when you go to the oceans and you see the seas, or when you see all the greenery and the flowers that are coming forth. If we gasp at awe in his handiwork here in creation, what will it be like to behold the Creator? You know, we were singing about lilies this morning. You know that bouquet that they give me last Sunday? You wouldn't believe that's the most beautiful bouquet I've ever received in my life. And it was so big and so beautiful, I had to separate it into two. And you know what? When I separated it, I saw lilies in the bowl that I didn't know were there. Last night, those lilies opened up. I said, Dave, look, the lilies. And I am not lying. They were like this. The whitest lilies I have ever seen in my life. And they weren't like the Easter lilies. Absolutely beautiful. What do we sing about today? But you know what? They're God's handiwork. But this is the shadow. What will happen when we see the substance? It will be far better than we've ever seen or can imagine. Remember the Apostle Paul's experience in 2 Corinthians 12, 1-4, where he says, this boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. You see, Paul couldn't even talk about what astounding things he heard in heaven. He heard utterances that were beyond his power to even put into words. God doesn't want our hope to be in this life. He wants our hope to be in the life to come. He wants you to long for your homecoming, where you will meet him face to face, where you will have access to a joy that is more desirable than any satisfaction here and now. Well, what should our attitude towards death be, knowing that death is not death? We should embrace death and not fear it. And even look forward to it as Paul and the saints of old did. What if you are facing death right now or have been diagnosed with a sickness that is unto death? Yes, of course, pray and ask God for a miracle. Jesus still heals the sick. But some sicknesses, the Bible said, will end in death. Know that the enemy right now is an opportunist and wants to rob you of your peace and joy and fill your mind with fear. But Psalm 23 verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because thou art with me. The Lord knows what you're going through, and he says, precious, important, and no light matter in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, his loving ones, of course, in the Amplified Version. Have Diane Christoffel's attitude when she was going through her battle with cancer. She said, devil, I could die and go to heaven, so what's your point? Prepare your family members. Prepare your family members and your friends. You see, many Christians do not do this, as they feel it would indicate a lack of faith, or they would not be keeping up a positive confession. And what happens is they die and haven't said what they wanted to say to their spouse, their children, or their friends, and they kind of leave things unfinished. That's not love. Your family and friends need to hear your last words to them. I remember when Sally Ferrara and I had our last words together, the last few phone calls, the last time at her bedside, the jokes we had, the love we shared, the things we said. I never forget those things. But my father's last words to me were so remarkable. Some of you heard this story, but I know there's others in this room that are new that never have, so I'm going to share it. When my father was dying from cancer and heart failure, I had made three requests of God. Number one, that I would be able to be at his bedside when he died, that he wouldn't have to die alone. Secondly, that I would know that he'd made peace with God, because when my mother got Alzheimer's and then when 9/11 happened, my father started sinking into despair, and he was like, how could a loving God allow these things to happen? And then thirdly, that he would reassure me of his love for me. I knew that he loved me, but I needed to hear him say it before he died, because I had an aunt that was saying some not nice things to me at the time, and I just needed to hear it from my dad. Well, I remember the day the nurse called, and Dave and I one Sunday right after church, as soon as the service was over, she called and she said, your father won't be living too long. Well, Dave and I drove like crazy down to Brandon. But you know what? God gave me 3 days with him at his bedside. First answer to prayer. Secondly, when I was with him a couple days before I died, I said, Dad, and I kind of sheepishly said, Dad, would you like me to read some scripture with you? Expecting I don't know what. He said, Linda, it's okay. I've made peace with God. Prayer number two answered. And then thirdly, his last words. This was the last thing I ever heard my father say. My Uncle Billy had come down. He was standing at the foot of his bed. One side of the bed, I was at the other. Billy said, Keith, he said, this is your brother Billy here. And this is your daughter Linda over here. And we're here to be with you. And my father turned his gaze and looked up at me and locked eyes with me. And struggling to get it out, he said, I love you. You are a good daughter. Wow, isn't God good? Because of those three things, those prayer that was answered, and Dad's last words to me, there was no sting in death. There was no sting in death. And I've often wondered, like, God, what's the matter with me? I never grieved. Because God took the sting out of it. He was with me in that valley. My last point of what should our attitude towards death be, knowing that death is not death? Can I live without my loved one? This one has been a biggie for me. I don't know if you remember this, Joel, or not, but years ago when the church was facing that way, we had a speaker here. It might have been Rachel. I don't know who it was. And they were giving an altar call, and we were singing, I Surrender All. And I was down on my knees, and I'm like, Lord, I surrender all. My life is yours, Lord. And I was crying and surrendering to God. And then I had this picture of my husband just kind of lying there. You know, he wasn't living. And I'm like, and God said, even Dave? You'd surrender Dave? And I'm like, ooh. And I was bawling, and I got, yes, Lord, even Dave, I surrender. And I stood up and I said to you, Joel, you know what God said to me? He asked me, and I told him the story, and Joel says, oh, Mom, that's so morbid. But you know what? Anatoly, the last time he spoke, he was mentioning about idols of our heart. And he said, even a spouse or a child can be an idol if they come before Jesus in our life. And Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than these? It's okay to cry, to mourn. The Bible says there's a time to mourn. Even Jesus wept when Lazarus was, when he died. But remember, you are living without them only for a short while. In light of all eternity, you're going to see them again. That's the hope of heaven. Death is not death. And in closing, I want to say, just as heaven is a very real place, so is hell. And that's another message. But know this, hell is real. You can read about it in the Word of God. Hell is horrible. It's the very opposite of what we've been talking about today. hell is also eternal. But the good news of the gospel is hell is avoidable. Every sin will be paid for, either by the Savior at the cross or by the sinner in hell. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You can come to the cross today and trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and for forgiveness from your sins. You can receive new life, and you can receive this eternal hope in heaven that we've been talking about today. And I can only imagine how good it's going to be.
What it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in love you be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able? I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever. Ever worship you, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only
Thanks, guys. That was great. Thanks, Mom. That was really good. I think it was the perfect way to end the series on the good news. And I don't know if I've ever heard a message like that on a Sunday morning in church before. And I think it was great. It was a message that we all need to hear. And it helped me. Did it help you? Yeah.